this is Gordon, W2TCC, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Net is conducted weekly on a frequency of 146.835 MHz. The 2-meter repeater of the Venture Cruise 7373 Amateur Radio Club, located in Pearl River, New York. The PL to access this repeater is 151.3. And we hope that you'll enjoy the net tonight. It's been a while since we had a regularly scheduled session of this net. So, attendance may be light, so if you are listening, we'd appreciate your participation. However minimal. In any case, we're getting kind of back in the saddle, and things are on the mend. I had hip replacement and dealt with some complications, and a couple of people did try to run the net a couple of times, and they actually were pretty successful, but some nights it didn't happen, so I apologize for those gaps. And I want to thank those who did come up to run them for their efforts. Alrighty, without no further ado, purpose of this net is as follows. Purpose of the net is to have a conversation about amateur radio. Telecommunications, electronics, computers, all manner of things, the natural sciences that underlie our beautiful, glorious hobby. What we do and what we've done, what we'd prefer not to do again, and of course, you're welcome to do a for sale, swap, or wanted item. You can do all of these things here. It's a wonderful net. So, with no further ado, stations whose call signs begin with the letter Whiskey, please call K2VAR.
Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo, Bob, and comment?
Okay, Bob, you'll have a comment. I got that. Any other whiskeys? Okay, lacking more whiskeys, we'll try November's. Nothing heard? How about some kilos?
W2TTT, Noel, K2BAR. This is KD2BKD, Bob, no traffic.
Okay, Bob, no problem. Welcome aboard to you. Any other kilos? Nothing heard. All right, how about those ever popular alphas?
K2BAR. This is Alpha Lima, Zero Yankee. Good evening, Golden. I have one announcement.
Good evening, Ali. Welcome aboard. And I do want to point out that we do have an echo link of KD2BKD-Lima, so feel free if someone wants to go in through that way to try. Always welcome to do that. We'll check for check-ins on that in a moment. Any further alphas? Okay, nothing heard there. Alrighty, let's go to the proverbial top of the list. Are there any echo link check-ins? I'm sorry. Okay, nothing heard there. Alrighty, any other check-ins via RF? Well, nothing heard. Let's get to it. Actually, I have something for later in the net, but we'll get to everybody else's first. W-H-Y-S-C, Bob, what do you got?
K2BAR, this is W-A-2-I-S-C. On the topic of attempted circuits that we don't want to try again, I tried to use a SCR circuit to produce a low-voltage DC after filtering from a higher-voltage AC waveform. And it turned out, yeah, it kind of worked, but the voltage regulation on it was fairly horrible. Over.
Yeah, so what was the circuit you were loading?
Well, I was attempting to, say, take in a direct power line and create a 12-volt DC supply. This is like for use in a device that would be totally enclosed, so the shock hazard issue would go away after everything is all buttoned up. But output voltage on the thing tended to vary. Sagged fairly horribly. I used a one shot to time from the AC waveform zero crossing to then trigger the SCR at some desired point to trigger when the power line was at around 12 or so volts and decreasing. It looked good as long as there was no load on the output, but as soon as I put a significant load, it would sag, and more than I had expected. So, and I tried various variations, but decided that things are getting too complicated to be worth the trouble. Over.
Yeah, those kinds of circuits are useful for references or extremely low current kind of scenarios. If you have a big current swing, all kinds of bad things start happening.
NJ2BS, repeat.
And what I was attempting to use it for was like a Linksys router, the ones that are completely enclosed in plastic. The Ethernet transformers are supposed to be good to give isolation up to about 1.4 kilovolt, which is about what you would want to isolate power line connected stuff from the outside users. But like going from no load to full load, the thing would sag from, say, the 12 volts down to about maybe 2 or 3 volts, which is pretty horrible.
Yeah, so let me just make sure I have this right. You took the raw AC line in, no transformer, rectified it, filtered it, and then threw an SCR on it?
Well, I took the raw AC line, connected the SCR directly to it, and then built a timing circuit that would trigger the SCR to conduct at about the time when the power line was heading towards zero crossing, when it would be around 12 or so volts and then rapidly decreasing. Because it was a diode, that would feed a filter capacitor, and then presumably it would charge up to the 12 volts 1/76th of a second and act like a normal half-wave rectifier.
Okie dokie. And there was no isolation transformer.
That's right, but I knew that going in, and that what I was going to power with this thing would be completely isolated from the user as far as shock hazard issues were concerned. So, and the idea being is that this thing would be, that I could build this thing to be a fairly thin circuit so it would fit easily within a confined enclosure.
Okay, so you wanted to take something like WRC54G and essentially give it an AC cord.
That's essentially it. I did find that some of those wall wart power supplies actually turned out to be thin enough that I could do it that way. So sometimes it's easier to have the routers not having the wall wart transformers. It was just an idea I had in the back of my mind. I wanted to see if I could make it workable or not, and I decided that, no, it's not really workable, so forget it.
No, clearly not. That must have been quite the adventure. Okie doke. Well, that's exciting. Anybody have any comments for Bob? Okay. Bob, any follow-on?
No, I think that pretty much wraps it up. And there was always the possibility that, well, if the SCR trick gets triggered somehow too early, I could be feeding a whole 160 volts into the router, which is not going to fly. So that would be another reason not to build this circuit for real.
Yeah. Interesting experiment, however. Very, very good. Okay, very good. Alrighty, our next comment will come from AL0Y from KTBAR.
KTBAR, this is AL0Y. Thanks, Gordon. It's an announcement, actually, for next Friday. I guess that's going to be the 10th of May. I'll be giving a presentation at the Wayne Ridge Amateur Emergency Team Club here in Wayne about APRS and how we built the APRS station that we have at the Driver Camp Park using Raspberry Pi an Arduino board and how to integrate a GPS and some sensors and how to build that using a minimalist style, like USB sound card, a Bofeng radio, and so on, to build the cheapest EPRS station, to also provide an I gate, RF gate, and so on. So I'll be giving that during the next meeting. Let me drop. So anybody who might be interested in EPRS or attending that, please feel free to join us. If you need any more information, you can email me and I'll give you where it's located, what time exactly, and so on. My email is alphalima0yankee.com. With that, back to that, AL0Y.
Well, that's darn wonderful. That really is. Look forward to that. So May 10th, Friday night, a week from tomorrow. And I look forward to that. That'll be excellent. Alrighty. Anybody have any questions, comments, confusions for Ollie, not just about his presentation, but about the topic of APRS, et cetera? Oh, I have one. So if you want to build an iGate, a transceive iGate, no less, and you want to do it on a budget, you can now do it essentially with a Biaofeng radio, on Vox, and a soft TNC now on a sound interface, that's plugged into an RPi. What do you mean, an RPi? And then you can use the Ethernet connector or the Wi-Fi to give you in and out on the internet side, correct?
That's the affirmative, Gordon. I'm using the wireless on the Pi, the Wi-Fi on the Pi, to connect to the internet. But you can work absolutely RF only if you can actually manage to find another powerful iGate or something to actually handle that. It can work as a fill-in distributor only, but if there's internet, it will also iGate as well. Back to you.
And the point is, you don't need to buy a TNC to do it.
Yes, that is correct. The first setup actually included a TNC buy, which is a head that goes on top of the Raspberry Pi, performs as a TNC. But I'm actually now using Direwolf software to do pretty much that, except on a software, and using a USB sound card to connect the Pi to the radio. Works pretty well, I gotta say that.
NJ2BS, repeat.
That sounds great. That sounds absolutely great. Alrighty. I'm watching my son pull in the driveway, and he's got a new car, and he's very nervous about it when Dad's watching, which I think is hilarious, but that's okay. But anyway, he's doing just fine. In any case, that sounds really good, Ollie. A nice economical way to build an iGate, you know. Pi, TNCs, all that good stuff. That's just a soft TNC, I should say, and that's pretty good. Well, I'm hoping to get my APRS going in the car tomorrow. I have to put a second mag mount on the car, and I'm not overly thrilled about that thought, but I probably will do it with a short 19-inch whip, but for now. And I'm looking to get some material for a roof rack, so I can put some antennas on this thing without drilling holes, and I found a way to get the cables in. Talk about that later, but anyway. Anybody else have any more on APRS? Well, very good, Ali. One of my thoughts would be is that maybe even some of us should consider running iGates, not just RF, but also internet backhaul in our vehicles. And that would be kind of cool to fill in. The ultimate fill-in digi, right? It moves, it fills in, whatever. It'd be a way to make sure your own APRS signal gets on the air, but more importantly, my guess is you probably could, in software, insert your own data without having to go have a transmitter, per se. You could blurt it out over the radio, you could squirt it up into the internet, and you could do it all from a localized interface inside your vehicle or your station, yes?
Well, yes, that's true. Right now, I'm using software to begin pretty much the telemetry from the sensors. I'm also using native GPS daemon on the Raspberry Pi to begin the location using the Darwalt software as well. And the core engine for the APRS engine itself, as far as digibeating and iGating, I'm using APRX software, and they talk to each other using internal telnet, which works very well, I gotta say, between Darwalt and APRX. So yeah, you can pretty much tell the software to begin wherever you want. I'm also trying to integrate right now a gateway to actually send text messages from your radio or HD through the iGate, and it should be received on SMS messages on cell phone and backwards. I found an operating iGate actually that does that. I'm just still like trying to simplify the process of sending a text message and receiving that, but so far it's doing very well.
Well, ideally what you'd want to do is have an app on your phone or a tablet that would talk to this thing and be able to squirt it out that way using the Android or iPhone or iPad as your messaging terminal in and out. I think that would be the most ideal, but I just want to sing your praises a little bit that you got the APRX software to work with the Direwolf software where no one had dared to try, and you ended up asking a simple question of some of the software developers of one or the other, I forget which one. And they said, oh yeah, you could do that if you did this, and boom, you did it, and next thing you know, you solved that problem, so kudos to you for doing that.
K2BRALZY. Alright, what happened is I was originally using APRX because it's very simple when it comes to the configuration itself, where you can actually give it where, like, pretty much you use it as a router. Like, you tell it when you get a message from, or you get a beacon on RF, what to do with it, whether to iGate it, to digibeat it, or whatever. If you receive something on the internet side, what to do with that as well, whether you want to send it to RF or just ignore it or whatever. So APRX works very well, and you can customize beacons as well by pretty much giving it a script, whatever kind of a script, shell script or Python script, and tell it, okay, run that script, and whatever outcome you get from that script, just beacon that. So I was using that to construct my telemetry data to get the information from the sensors and construct the beacon and let it actually send it to both iGate and RF. So that's what I was using APRX for. Now, This is our first. On the other side, I wanted Direwolf to just... Direwolf pretty much can also operate as a distributor, but it's not really that much configurable, let's put it this way. But it works very well as a software CNC. So I wanted both of them to talk to each other, and I managed to get that working, but the problem is, I wanted to send the GBS location from Direwolf, because it actually natively speaks to the GBS, unlike AVRX, but I wanted everything else to go through AVRX, so I didn't want to have both of them connected to the internet. And I asked the developers of Direwolf if I can actually pass the messages between them to originate something from Direwolf and let it actually be sent to instead of being sent over the air to actually be sent to AVRX and let AVRX deal with that. And they pretty much told me, yeah, you can simulate the beacon being instead of actually receiving the beacon on the air, you can simulate that, and Direwolf would pretty much act as if it hears it on RF and send it to AVRX. So when AVRX sees that, that's when it aggregates and actually distributes it back to RF, and now it's actually out on both RF and the internet. Did I make that symbol? ALZY.
NJ2BS. Repeat.
Yeah, I get it. You know, the whole point was to use just a one as an internet-connected device and not two, and of course let the, let you bridge the activity across so that you don't have excess RF activity in the process. So bridged in software, it'll make the, you'll have one set of decision engines deciding whether something goes out over the air or into the internet. That's AVRX.
That's exactly what I did, yes. So AVRX is pretty much doing everything. Direwolf right now is only doing, decoding and decoding of the messages for the TNC, for the RF side. As well as, for now, it gets the beacon information, the GBS information, constructs the beacon and send it to AVRX to actually send that out to both internet and RF. ALZY, back to you.
And that's a wonderful thing. Simplify on the radio side by doing a little careful configuration between two pieces of software. All right, anybody have any comments for Ali?
Just one more comment, Gordon, ALZY.
Go right ahead.
All right, I just want to add, Direwolf would actually allow you to use one of the GPIO bins as a push-to-talk circuit. I didn't even have to use that with the bullfangs. I'm using Vox straight, and it works pretty well. I was kind of worried about TX transmit or transmit delay if I have to add something until the radio actually powers up, but that wasn't even needed. The Vox circuit on bullfang apparently is very fast. ALZY, back to you.
Yeah, I was kind of pleasantly surprised. I mean, we had talked about that being the way to go implement it, but it turned out to be much nicer than either one of us would have guessed. You didn't have to set up a TX delay of let's say, 200 or something stupid like that.
The default is 150, and that worked fine, so I didn't even have to change it. But I would assume that I would have to go much more, being that it's Vox, but I didn't have to.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. Oh, very good. I'll get asked one more time. Anybody have anything to add to this conversation? Okie dokie. Well, Ali, kudos to you, and I think it'll make a marvelous presentation, especially when people see the graphics to go with it, and that'll help clarify for people who aren't as familiar with it as we are. And at the same time, it'll add some some opportunity for people to say, oh, I can do that too. And that's kind of the point. We want people to get to that, oh, I can do it too stage.
Oh, thank you, Gordon. Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm looking forward for. People being interested and start building stuff. I'd be more than happy if we have more iGates here.
Right, and the reason for more iGates, just for folks' benefit, is that, number one, not just decision reports, but also we can start supporting text messaging, you know, without the benefit of the Internet, and that's kind of the goal here. So, if you'd like to have an iGate at your house, one, you know, either receive only or transceive, we'd be happy to discuss that opportunity with you, and, you know, it's all up to you as to what you want to do, and no one's going to tell you how to set it up. We can give you some recommendations, but you want to set it up a certain way, hey, more power to you. We're happy to see it. Alrighty. Anybody else have anything for Ali on or regarding APRS?
This is WA2ISC, AL0Y. Oh, I got that backwards. Anyway, I had a fundamental question, like this iGate thing. Does that mean that I can use the Internet to access a packet bulletin board to send and receive articles and whatnot, like back in the old days of packets? Over.
I'll let you handle that one, Ali.
Thanks, Gordon, and thanks, Bob. Well, the answer to that is actually negative. That has nothing to do. You're using the same protocol, which is AX25, to actually decode and encode the APRS beacons and the messages, but that has nothing to do with bulletin boards. The APRS messages are pretty much predefined formats, and it's very short messages. You may send your message during using multiple packets, but that is not the regular bulletin board that you are familiar with. That would be different. Back to you, ALZY.
Okay, thanks, Ali. This is AL0Y. This is WA2IC. Back to net.
Very good. I'm just curious. Has anyone seen their May QST yet? I'm just curious. I don't recall seeing my May QST. I have April, but I don't seem to have May. Well, okay. Such is life. Anyway, so in the land of being ridiculously busy and at some level ridiculously sick over the last couple of months, I want to point out that everybody's good wishes and encouragement to get rid of that infection after I had my hip replacement surgery, is really appreciated, number one. Number two, I got to say that I'll be starting some intensive physical therapy starting next week, a couple of mornings a week. That'll shift around my work schedule a little bit, but that's fine. At least a couple of days a week, probably Tuesdays and Lord knows whenever else. I'll find out. And I wanted to let everybody know that, number one, in my first really big weekend of, feeling better, et cetera, Nancy and I got rid of the newer Hyundai and traded it in, and I bought a Ram ProMaster 3500 van, and it's got two conventional seats in the front, very comfortable, all the usual things like home entertainment and nav and phone tethering and media hub and all that other happy nonsense. But the back part is all just a big steel box, didn't even have a floor. So that's what we're going to be working on in the next couple of weeks and months. It'll be very interesting. Nancy and I went and looked at cabinets, to put make a long operating bench on the driver's side from one end to the other. And we're working on a couple other things, but we've also figured out how coaxes are going to go in and out of the vehicle on a permanent basis. They'll go through the floor in the back corner. We're just going to have to get a ladder to act as a cable race to bring things from the roof down to the side of the vehicle without whopping on the side of the vehicle and then down and around. So we'll be working on that, and pretty exciting stuff. So I think this year's Field Day, and maybe even Portable Day, might have the initial iterations of Gordon's new radio vehicle, which is kind of fun. And this radio, while it's temporarily installed, certainly is phase one of what will be many different radios. And all kinds of things, including embedded APRS and all manner of things. So it's pretty exciting. Anyway, if anyone has any suggestions, oh gosh, please make them. I'm also going to obviously put a mesh node or two or five in here, you know how that goes. And there'll be internet gateways and all manner of things. So it's going to be kind of neat. So as they say in the in the broadcast business, film at 11. Anybody's got any comments or questions, feel free to let me know.